Praise the Most High. Praise Jesus, the rock. Praise our Lord, the strong tower. Hallelujah. He is good. He is good, and Amy is 7 years old. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The African International Ministry is now old, 7 years. Amen. And we are so thrilled at Abe. We want to celebrate like crazy. Because 7 years. 7 years. It's long. I don't know how I will talk, I will say about Calvary Church. 75 years. And still some people want to destroy it. It is standing forever. Will not move. It will stay there because it's from God. And it will grow. Hallelujah. I say that with all my heart and with all my faith. That there is nothing that will. It's the house of the Lord. Amen. The house of the Lord. Today I'm here, and if I'm crazy, it's because it's really thrilling to have the blessings and the favors of God to be part of this big movement. And I'm here to introduce to you a guest that you know, because he's been here more than once. But he is here today because M is 7 years old. Amen. And we will just use him as we can use him, because he has the anointing for the moment. Pastor Kahozi flew Friday with the only flight out of Montreal. The only one. Weather canceled all the flights. It's just to tell you how God is with him. God is with Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. So he is here with the power of the Lord to just bless all of us. Pastor Kahozi. Praise God. Thank you. That's
good. That's good. Hallelujah. Can we praise the Lord? Can we clap our hands again unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He alone is deserving to have all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Hallelujah. Can we praise him again? Just one more time. Can we praise the name of Jesus? Can we lift our hands, our minds, and our hearts unto him? Hallelujah, Jesus. He is worthy. It is an undeserved grace to know him. I was born to a Catholic family. And if I look at my life, I couldn't imagine how I end up, knowing him and serving the true, serving the true God, you know. And I can honestly say, I didn't find him; he found me, because I was busy trying to be somebody, but in his grace, he's just reached out and saved me. And it's an honor and a privilege to stand before his people today. The people of God is the most beautiful people on the face of the earth. There is nothing like the church. Some of you friends, maybe you are second generation, third generation, fourth generation. But let me tell you this. The church is the greatest thing ever. It's hardly out there. Don't be tempted. There is nothing out there. There is love in the church. The church is the best thing ever. You're not missing out on nothing. And I don't know even why I'm saying all that. It was not in plan, but you know, God is good. The church is good. The church is on the way to heaven. And don't be distracted. There is nothing in the world. I came out of the world and there's nothing there. It's much, much, much better in here in the church. And I think I have a message from God today. And I think I'm going to be probably talking to specific people today. Maybe it's not the message for the church, but I strongly believe it's a message for somebody today. And I'll be reading from the book of Acts 16. When we get there, when we're getting there, I want to say thank you to Pastor Grant for allowing me to be here. And it's always stressful to stand in this pulpit. And first, you could feel the anointing here. And second, English is not my first language, so bear with me as I look carefully for my words. thank you for the privilege and the honor. Acts 16, 25 and 26, we're going to read those two verses. And I'm not going to be long. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoner heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were loosed. Everyone's bonds were loosed. Now, I'm going to try to the best of my ability to deliver what the Lord put on my heart today. And if I would entitle this message, I would say, don't deliver me just yet. Don't deliver me just yet. Pastor, would you pray? Amen. Hallelujah. Can we just give him another shout before we sit down? Hallelujah. I like noise. Hallelujah. Can we make some noise unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I like noise and I like movement. I don't know. Let me tell you a little story. When I married my wife and we had our firstborn, my daughter, she was very small and tiny. I don't know if I told that story here, but I'm going to tell it again. And she was so fragile that from time to time, I'll go in the room when she was a baby, sleeping on the bed. I'll look at her and I'll start questioning myself. Is she still alive? She's not moving and nothing. And I'll lift up a little skirt and see her belly going up and down. I say, oh, she's still breathing. She's alive. I don't know if anybody has done a crazy thing like that, but to see the movement told me that she was still alive. You know, sometimes when we come to church, we got to move a little bit. Because we are alive and we're serving a living God. And sometimes we have to make some noise because noise is indicative of life. And where there is life, there is noise. Amen. Hallelujah. The verse that I read to you is from a passage of scripture about Paul in Philippi. Paul and Silas went to Philippi. And in verse 16 of the same chapter, the Bible told us that it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed. Siri is playing tricks on me. It's taking over my notes. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servant of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I was a little bit puzzled reading that, coming from where I come from, spiritual manifestation is a common thing. In Africa, demonic manifestation is current. Somebody said the demons there are not very sophisticated. They will manifest themselves very easily. But reading that, it kind of puzzled me a little bit, because it's clearly stated that that lady was possessed, but yet she was telling the truth. Yet she was directing people to the right direction. So I said to myself, we have to check the spirit. Sometimes the devil can say something which is right. And it doesn't matter what he says. We have really to discern where it's coming from. And somebody telling you what happened in your life doesn't mean really it is from God. Because the spirit of divination is mightily used in the word today. But that's not my point. Paul rebuked her. And when he rebuked her, he caused trouble for them. The master accused them falsely, and Paul and Silas was thrown in jail. They were beaten up, and the Bible says, despite all of that, in the midst of the night, they start singing praises unto God. Now, it was not murmuring praise, it was loud praise. It was not, I'm so sorry, Lord, can you come and help me? It was almost a joyful noise unto the Lord, because the people that were in the prison heard them. It was not a quiet praise, it was a loud praise. Now, the result of that praise was that the place was shaken, the chains was falling off, the door were open. And from all indication, if I was in Paul's shoes, I would be running to that door and head to a safe place. I don't know what you will do, but that's what I'll probably do. I remember a story once. I was young in my country. There was a prisoner in a prison. They get together, they took a piece of a container, and they start singing at night. But they were not singing praise. They were making a lot of noise. But the noise was a covering, because a group of them were breaking a wall of the prison. And while they were singing, some of them were breaking the wall. And in the morning, when the soldier came to check, the prison was empty. Everybody was out. You know, your first reflex when you're in prison and door open is for you to go out. And they were in the right position maybe to start thinking, whoa, what a strong and powerful manifestation of God. He came and set us free. Let's get out of here. But that is not what they did. They stayed in. And sometimes what it looks like is not really what God wants us to do. We have really to search the will of God. In every situation, we have to pray and find out what God really wants us to do. They stay in the prison. They should have. They were there condemned wrongly or falsely condemned. But yet, when the door opened, they didn't run out. They didn't leave. And the Bible said, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and saying the prison doors and seeing the prison doors open, Siri again, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And to the shock of that jail keeper, those prisoners were not like all the others. Even with the doors open, they didn't run out. Even with the chains taken off, they were still in prison. The Bible says he came in trembling with his light, and to his amazement, he counted everybody, and everybody was in there. You know, and it shocked him. He fell down on his knees and said and told Paul, What shall I do to be saved? What shall I do to be saved? You know, I don't know most of the people here. I don't know what you're going through. But I feel the Lord asked me to tell you that there is a reason you're going through what you're going. There is a reason you're going through what you're going. If you could just stand there and don't seek for your deliverance first, you will see eventually what God wants to do with your suffering. You are not suffering in vain. Don't seek for your deliverance too quickly. Seek for the purpose of your suffering before you can seek for your deliverance. There is a reason why you're going through what you're going. God will never allow you to suffer for no reason. God will never make you go through what you're going for no reason. There is, I believe there is only two reasons we are still living today on this earth. The first reason is if we're not saved, the Lord loves us so much that he would like us to be saved. If you don't, if you never experience the gospel, the reason you're still alive today is so that you can experience the gospel of Jesus Christ and save your life for the eternal destruction. But most of us here are already saved. Most of us here are already filled with the Holy Ghost. Most of us here are doing our best to live a holy life. If you already saved, the second reason why, the reason why you're still here is so that you can bring salvation to somebody else who God loves as much as he loves you. And that sometimes we put us in position that we have to go through things, through suffering, through pain. But let me tell you this. God, as much as God loves you, he loves somebody else. And you are probably the contact to bring his salvation to that person that he loves as much as he loves you. If it was only just for us, I believe God will save us and will get us out of here. He loves us so much that he's not interested in seeing us suffering. He has streets of gold prepared for us. There is no reason he will let us walk in the street covered with snow. He has... If it's not for somebody else, he loves as much as us. If it's not for somebody else who need to hear that gospel, I'm telling you, maybe you're going through a hard time, but there is a reason for the suffering. Don't be too quick to look for your escape. Let God have his way with you. We don't love suffering, but suffering produces salvation. We don't love suffering, but it's because of suffering that we are here today. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ went through a lot for us to be here. He was mocked. He was rejected. He was tortured. He was killed. His body suffered tremendously so we can be here. When we were not yet part of his body, we benefit from that. We didn't pay a price. He paid all the price. We didn't go through any suffering. He went through all the suffering. But I have news. It may not be good in a certain sense. I have news for you. Once we are saved, the Bible says we become the member of the body of Christ. We become a member of the body of Christ. As well as the body of Christ suffered to produce my salvation. Now that I'm a member of his body, I will feel the same suffering to produce the salvation of somebody else. Lord, don't deliver me just yet. Have your way in my life. Lord, maybe the door of this prison is open, but I'm not willing to get out of here before I see the purpose why you brought me so far. Lord, hallelujah, everything is not going as I wanted to, but in this suffering, you'll have your way. If just one person will come to God through it, let it be so, because it is worthy. You know, This pattern, you could see it time and times in the Bible. I'll bring you back to the time of Noah. Noah was living in time where judgment was already decided upon the face of the earth. The Lord asked him to build the ark, and sure enough, he did build the ark. The Lord asked him to get in the ark, and sure enough, he got in the ark. And the animal came, and they all get in the ark. But the Bible says in verse 7, in Genesis 7, verse 9, they went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And notice verse 10. He said, and it came to pass after 7 days. So Noah was in that ark for 7 days before anything happened. Noah was on that ark for 7 days. God could have closed that door the first day. The ark is built. God could have closed that that door the first day, and the rain could have started the very same day. But he said, no, I just wait a little bit. There may be somebody else who might step in. You know, Noah, you know, and if you look at the construction of the ark, it was not the best thought of construction ever. And I'm going to explain myself. One door. Just one door for three levels. One window only for those three stairs. But all the animals inside. And Noah's inside. It was not a nice smelling place in that ark. It must have been smelling very bad in that ark. But for 7 days, he had to wait inside. For 7 days, the ark was ready. I'm telling you, the church is ready. God could rapture us today. There is no prophecy to hold him back. But the only reason that he's holding back, it's maybe just somebody may enter again his church. Maybe, just maybe somebody may enter. You may be going through certain things, hard things, but maybe, just maybe, somebody else may come to Jesus. Don't try to get out of your prison just yet. Just hold on for a second. There might be somebody, hallelujah, who's going to walk into that ark. For 7 days, he had to endure the smell. Nobody came in. 7 days. It's actually, if we look at it closely, the Bible says God never changed. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's a God of grace today, he was a God of grace not then. This was 7 days of grace that he showed to the world of Noah. And God is showing another time of grace to our world. But when grace is displayed, there's a price to be paid. When grace is displayed, the beneficial of grace, the people who receive grace, it doesn't cost them nothing. But the people who deliver that grace, it costs them something. And God has called us for such a time as this. You may be going through a hard time, but there is a reason for your suffering. You don't maybe have all that you wanted or you need. There is a reason for your suffering. You may be sick in your body. It could heal you. But you don't know who you're going to meet at that hospital. You don't know who you're going to speak to at that rendezvous with the doctor. You may be going through hardship. But don't let that hardship be useless, because you desire just to be delivered. There is a price to be paid, and I think and I believe that we are ready to pay it. We are well able to pay it. We're going to do it. You know, it's not the right time, you know. We've already invested enough in this. To seek for your deliverance will be to lose whatever you've already paid so far. You know, Jesus paid a high price. Most of the time, we're going to be either at the receiving end or at the delivering hand of the grace of God. You know, once we were at the receiving hand, it didn't cost us nothing. But yet, we could have avoided that grace. We could have ignored that grace. And the price that Jesus paid could have been of no effect in our life. But now, we have received it. And we are partaker of it. We cannot allow ourselves to let it be void for somebody else. For somebody else. I don't have much to say. That's what the Lord laid in my heart. Most of the time we look at Paul and Silas in prison. And we say, wow, what a power of God. What a demonstration of the power of God. But there is more to the story. They stayed in that prison till somebody was saved. They stay in that prison till somebody was brought to the Lord. Are we going to be willing to stay in our fight, to stay in our prison maybe, to stand in our situation till God bring us family to his kingdom? Are we going to be willing to pay the entirety of the price? I'm going to stay in that fight. I'm going to stay in that prison till the Lord bring a family. I still have a family that need to know him. I still have friends that need to know him. I still have neighbors that need to come to him. I still have people around me that still have to know him. And I know there is not much, that much time left. We are at the very end of the very end. Don't let us not look for that temporary deliverance. Let him for the permanent and eternal deliverance as we endure whatever the devil throw at us. We can stand and bring this thing home, hallelujah, and sing glory on those streets of gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know, hallelujah, to whom I'm speaking. I don't have a long message. I don't feel like I was sent to make you run in the aisle, but I strongly believe that I was sent to tell somebody, hold on, hold on. Don't run out of that prison yet. There is somebody coming to knock at the door. There is somebody coming to check if you're still in there. There is somebody who is needing what you have. Just hold on. Just hold on. We have it. Just hold on. Deliverance, the permanent deliverance is on the way. God can deliver you today. But tomorrow there will be another struggle. Just stay where you are and see God do what is intended to do with your life. With your pain, hallelujah, he will show himself powerful. With your struggle, he will show himself great. With your weakness, he will show himself powerful. Just endure and see the deliverance of the Lord, hallelujah, in the work, hallelujah. Pastor, I'm going to hand it out to you, hallelujah.
Let's all stand this morning. I read a t-shirt. They have t-shirts have all kinds of different slogans. But on the t-shirt it said, I don't believe in luck. I believe in Jesus. You look at yourself today and say, well, you know, it was fate that brought me here today. No, Jesus brought you here today. And whatever you're going through, he's not finished yet. There's a reason why that you're here. There's a reason why that you're still struggling. And I want to thank you, brother, for such a profound, powerful word. So many times we want to get out of our mess as quickly as we can. But I found out one thing about life. Sometimes it's in those times of struggle, in those times where God doesn't open a door, that we learn some of our most valuable lessons in life. So as our praise team gets ready to sing, I just want to open up this altar area up front here. If you're here this morning and you're like, Lord, I don't know how to get out of the prison that I'm in. I don't know how to get out of the problem that I'm in. I don't know how to get out of the situation, the struggles that I'm going through.